You're listening to the Tuesday Morning Show. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Pat Miller is going to be bringing us Music on the River. We are excited today to have a conversation about a place called the Children's Eternal Rainforest. It's the largest private reserve in Costa Rica. It's been protected thanks to the fundraising efforts of children from around the world. And joining us in the studio this morning, Leslie Corrales and Kelsey. Oh, I'm going to make you just say it because I had told you.
Kelsey Dominuk.
Well, thank you guys for being here today. It's good to have you.
Thank you.
So you are in Minnesota, briefly headed back to Costa Rica. Tell us a little bit about this place. It sounds amazing.
Oh, well, Costa Rica or Minnesota?
Well, how is Minnesota for you?
Minnesota's been great. Mm-hmm. It's really different from Costa Rica, but I love the nature here. There's a lot of it.
Yeah.
So it's incredible to see the difference between our little country and this humongous state. Yeah, which is only a state. It's really, really cool to see the difference.
You know, it's amazing when you talk about Costa Rica, you have like, I don't know, 3 or 4 times as many different plants and you've got more than twice as many different birds. But Minnesota, for its own sake, has a great number of different plants and a great number of birds. We have more birds in Minnesota, more different species of birds in Minnesota than most other states around the country because we have 3 different biomes. We have, you know, 3 different distinct biomes that appeal to different kinds of birds. But Costa Rica is like the birder's paradise. That's where people go to actually see birds. Once they've exhausted the 300 and so odd species of Minnesota, they grab that book for Costa Rica, which is a backbreaker because there's like 800 birds in it.
Yep.
over 800. There are like 940 different species.
Is that right?
Which of those, we have around 50 of the birds inside the Children's Eternal Rainforest.
Wow. Well, tell us a little bit about the rainforest.
Well, the Children's Eternal Rainforest started in Costa Rica in around 1996 with a group of locals. They just wanted to preserve. They were looking that the forest around their houses was getting lost. So what they wanted to do is just save it. A year later after that, one of the biologists there was in that group went to Sweden and went to a little class of like 90-year-old class and show them different pictures and explain what was going to happen in Costa Rica if the deforestation kept on going. Thanks to that, one of the little kids said that they needed to fundraise. So it became a little viral at that time, and they started selling what they call natural cookies, or cookies of the rainforest, and the main reason they call it like that is because they only use natural ingredients. But yeah, after that, 44 different countries around the world donated to make what is Costa Rica's largest private reserve now.
Yeah, and that third grade, it was a third grade class, mm-hmm. right, Les? Yeah, that third grade class ended up raising like over $10,000.
$10,000
in a macro.
Yeah, just from fundraising.
One third grade class.
Yeah.
And selling cookies.
Yeah, and selling cookies and doing other things around there.
Yeah, different fundraisers. Mm-hmm. Like car washes, selling cookies, dances.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Anything they could think of.
Nice. And it went viral. People began to catch on around the world and more countries with more and more children.
Exactly.
This is so cool. I mean, kids, it's just like, you know, your parents get out of the way. It's obvious you're not going to take care of things here. So get out of our way. We're going to do this. Mm-hmm. What a nice gesture. Wow.
Yeah, it's incredible how like the kids just were the ones that really pushed all the adults to have what we have now.
Yeah. And what's the terrain like? Is it mountainous? Is it...
Oh, it's very different. I mean, there is 7 of the 12 life zones of Costa Rica, so that's why you see so much biodiversity within that little area. I mean, Ben itself is at 0.0048% of the world's land mass, mm-hmm. and it has small. Around 3% of the biodiversity.
Wow.
So it's pretty incredible to see.
That is astonishing. Yeah. So what among the critters that you run into, what are your favorites?
Oh, one of the main things that I love, it's the wildcats that we have there.
Wildcats.
Unfortunately, we don't really see them that often. But yeah, when you get to see them, it's amazing. It's just a ton.
And the Bend, the Children's Eternal Rainforest, has trap cameras up to make sure that there's still jaguars and the cats are still moving through, but you can't really see them during the day. Or,
you know, the same thing is true here. People, we have bobcats in Minnesota, and we also have a few lynx, and every once in a while we have a puma, a mountain lion goes through, but you never see them. What has brought them to our awareness is these trap cameras. These mm-hmm. we call them trail cams, mm-hmm. And you know, you put one out, and all at once you realize, gosh, there's a lot of these cats around. How come I never see them? Well, because cats are cats, and they're like, oop, yeah, you think you could see me, but I'm not going to show you.
Yeah, pumas are becoming a little more common nowadays in Monteverde, especially in the Monteverde area. We don't really know why, but there. I mean, you can. I have a friend that she looked at one like at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. That's pitch black in Costa Rica normally. But yeah, I mean, just in one of the main roads, just crossing the road.
Wow.
So I mean, they're becoming a little more.
Same thing, the same mountain lion, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
A little smaller than the ones you get here, but yeah.
Well, same. That's, what's his name, Watkins? I can't remember the law. There's a law, a physiological occurrence. The further you get from the equator, the larger the mammal becomes, based on surface area versus body size, you know, and it's easier to keep something warm that's larger.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So your cats would be smaller.
Kelsey, you grew up in the Grand Rapids area?
Yes.
How did you get to Costa Rica? How did this happen for you?
I graduated from the University of Minnesota Duluth, and I decided I wanted to go volunteer someplace else because I didn't have the opportunity to study abroad or do anything like that during my undergrad. And I didn't know what job I wanted after graduation, so I was like, I want to go volunteer in a different country. And Costa Rica got my attention because of its environmental education efforts and just how much they focus on the environment versus other things. So I started looking up where could I volunteer, and I went through a program called the Institute for Global Studies. And the founder is actually from Bemidji, Minnesota. And so I went through that organization, and they started sending me opportunities, and I got the opportunity sent to me to go to Monteverde to volunteer with the Children's Eternal Rainforest. And I was like, this looks perfect. It went along with what I graduated with, which was public health education. And so I decided to go, and I went, and I ended up meeting Leslie there, and then the love story began too. We fell in love, and I kind of just transitioned to living there now. It was kind of over the last 2 years, bringing more of my stuff, and I'm like, I really love this country. I think I'm gonna stay. So, yeah, and I continue to volunteer for the Ben, and whenever Leslie and his boss or anybody needs help, I go out and do whatever they want me to do.
What's your responsibilities at the Ben?
Oh, I do a little of everything. So mainly I'm in the main office in Monteverde, but I as well do like speeches to go out to our different visitor centers or wherever they want me to give a speech about Ben. And that's pretty much what I do as well. I do some environmental education inside the Monteverde area, because since Ben is so big and it's part in three provinces of Costa Rica, so there is a environmental education on one side of the Caribbean side of the country, and then there is an environmental education in the Pacific side, specifically in Monteverde, and that's what I'm in charge of.
Okay. And 23,000 hectares, that's 55,000 acres or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge area.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And are there lots of roads, or is it mostly trails? I mean, how developed is the land?
It's not really developed. I mean, 30 years ago, a lot of it was deforested. So there are a lot of areas of the reserve itself that it's reforested within the last 30 years. Other of it, especially the inner part of it or the middle part, is primary forest. And that's untouched. So out of 100%, only a 2% of the whole reserve, it's open to public. The rest of it is just conservation. So only rangers are allowed into the reserve.
Oh, so I come to visit. I'm a birder or whatever, and I want to get out and do some exploring. Mm-hmm. 2% of that total area is available to me.
Exactly.
And the other 98% is basically closed.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which brings, that brought up a good thing. Last night, I think we were talking about this, that that there hasn't been a large-scale study done on the entire Children's Eternal Rainforest, the protected area. Nobody has researched in that area. So the Ben is always looking for researchers and biologists to come in and study different aspects of the rainforest.
Wow.
There hasn't been a large-scale study.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. And biologically diverse. Looking at your list here, it's amazing. You've got 3% of the world's butterflies, 5% of the world's bird species. The world, 3% of the butterflies. That's a phenomenal number.
It doesn't sound as much, but yeah, it is a big number as well. We have 1% of the frogs. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the biggest things for us. The frogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really important. I mean, it's shown us that what they started with, it's been working because of the protection, especially frogs. There was a frog that is called a green eye frog, that's one of the common names, and it was thought to be extinct, that disappeared before 2011, and it was refound inside the Children's Eternal Rainforest in 2011.
Wow.
So it's one of the things that have shown us that the work that we have done, it's working.
How nice. What a reward. Gosh, it's incredible to think about this. So what's your favorite duty? What's your favorite piece of work that you get to do?
Teach the children how to protect the forest.
Nice, nice. We need people doing that everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, which is kind of, John's not saying that, but that's what John does here in some ways. He works in classrooms with kids and teaching them about nature and the forest and just kicking off a new campaign with people that are going to be with kids in the schools. And then we get to hear their voices on the air and they're telling us what they're seeing. So. Yeah. Maybe we can get some phenology from Costa Rica.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun? That would be great.
Email some of the things you're seeing. And, yeah.
Yes. You don't really have seasons in Costa Rica, do you?
Not really.
Wet and dry, right?
Exactly, that's it.
Wet and dry. Yeah. It's the wet season or it's the dry season. Mm-hmm. Do the trees, the term I would use is senesce, do the leaves dry and fall and then grow new leaves? Or
some trees do.
Some do, but not...
Like, probably 3% of the trees. Uh-huh. So not much. But yeah, some trees do. Like the fields, all the leaves fall, they're going to look completely dry, and then they're going to grow back again. But yeah, not
a lot.
I hear, yeah.
And what about pines? Do you have needle trees? Pine trees?
Yeah, we have some of them that were like brought into Costa Rica.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, most of those were introduced, and they tend to take over a little bit of the land, don't they?
So they're kind of invasive? Or
yeah, I mean, and at the beginning, I mean, for example, Ben, at the beginning of when they started, Ben is the Children's Eternal Rainforest, it's Bosque Eterno de los Niños. So that's one, I always say Ben, because that's like the smallest name for it. So yeah, when Ben first started, they donated around 1 million trees to different farmers, and they didn't thought about what the trees were going to do eventually to the nature, and what they did is they donated just pine trees instead of local trees. So now what they're doing is trying to cut those trees down and replant new trees that are from the certain specific areas where they donated the trees.
Right, right. I was visiting an island off the coast of Puerto Rico, and the problem there was the same, that other trees had been brought in, crowded out the native trees. And I actually met a fellow there who had a greenhouse where he was raising, going out, collecting seeds from the native trees, growing the trees, and then putting them back into the environment.
Yeah, so we're doing exactly the same. I mean, one of our visitor centers, we have a nursery house or nursery room that we just plant native trees to disperse around the reserve itself.
Wonderful.
You can get information on the Children's Eternal Rainforest, Ben, at acmcr.org. Do kids still fundraise for this? Or
yeah, not as much as they did before, but we still get donations from kids a lot, yeah.
Well, that's great. So if you need more information on that or want to get involved, Leslie Corrales, Kelsey Dominique. Oh, it's a tough one for me for some reason. You can call us if you need more information. It's 800-662-5799. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thanks to you.